This is a Christian Science Prayer Treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website is mbeinstitute.org. Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science in 1866, and then until 1910 she published 16 books in addition to the textbook, which was first published in edition number 1 in 1875. The final edition was number 432, published in December 1910. Mary Baker Eddy discovered the lost element of healing, which of course was an important factor in the life of Christ Jesus and several other characters in the Old and New Testament. The textbook is entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and she has stated that she was strictly a scribe unto orders. In other words, she was a scribe to God, who was dictating the key points to her. This prayer treatment is extemporaneous, so we don't know for sure what ideas may come to us as we have our thought open to convey whatever comes to us on this recording. The title of this recording is Spirit, Marriage, Wheat, and Tares. What could we mean by that? The third chapter of the textbook is entitled Marriage. One of the key points states that marriage is a matter of gradual elevation from the human to the divine. If we look at Isaiah, Isaiah states precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. The human brain is not readily acceptable to any ideas or thoughts that are different from what it believes to be true. This is why the swamp, in trying to capture the human brain, it feeds repetitive statements that are the same identical words from all of the various mainstream media. It says the same thing over and over and over until the brain accepts it as being truth. It's brought out in previous prayer treatments about the Project Mockingbird, which has been in existence for some 60 years, of one of our intelligence agencies, which happens to be the largest one that begins with the letter C. And that project says that we will have accomplished the goal of this project when everything the public believes to be true is false. So our tax dollars are purposely redirected to trying to change our own consciousness from believing truth to be true to believing that error is true, a lie. Therefore, we need to follow the advice of Einstein. He says curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. And of course, Jesus tells us in the first quote of the textbook, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And Shakespeare in the second quote says, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third quote is by Mary Baker Eddy. She says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Connect the dots. God is the only maker of laws, for he is the only one with intelligence, the only one with knowing, the only one with wisdom. and everything about God is omni, which means it's one, only, and all. So we not only need to go to God first, but go to God only, for that is the only source of reality. The brain is not a source of reality. The brain is a source of what it has been trained to believe, true or false. When we come into this world as a visible baby, we are innocent, but we are taught to believe that we're born a sinner, because the churches have taught that Genesis chapter 2 is the truth about man, stating that we all came from Adam and Eve. But that's not what Genesis chapter 1 says. Chapter 1 says that God made man in his image and likeness. And Habakkuk tells us that God is of pure eyes and to behold evil. Jesus said, when a Pharisee says, "Good master, how can I obtain eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why call thou me good? There is only one good, and that is God." And on page 587 of the textbook, Mary Baker Eddy says the definition of good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And omniscience includes omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. So God is only good. These insurance companies that try to attribute a catastrophe to God are only trying to lie and get out of paying a claim when someone has a tragedy, whether it's their house is burned down or whatever the insurance is supposed to cover. The corruption must be seen for what it is: evil. Not the person, not even the company. Evil is there all the time, and it's up to us whether or not we give it a residence in our consciousness. We want to follow what Isaiah tells us about precept upon precept and line upon line and here a little, there a little, so that we learn a little bit each day about truth. And we train our brain to elevate above itself, which is mortal and erroneous, to start grasping what is true and permanent. Jesus combated evil by quoting things from the Bible. We have an advantage over Jesus because we have 16 books written by Mary Baker Eddy and the textbook, which gives us all kinds of truth about reality. Jesus had to rely on the Old Testament because the New Testament had not been written. And that, of course, is full of the quotes of Jesus and Jesus' works, giving us a wonderful opportunity to learn from it. And of course, Christian Science is all about Jesus and Christianity because it explains the science of Christianity, the science of the healings of Jesus. And what's the difference between a science and a theory? A science is something that has proven certain things to be true. And it has a structure and a system. The system comes from mind, and the structure comes from principle. And when we have a structure and a system and a substance of spirit, which is flawless, and the senses of soul, which are spiritual, and the life of living the qualities of God, both in the spirit and the letter, and we abide by the truth to stay on track, and we permeate everything with the spirit of love, we have a winner. And this is what we explain in our presentation entitled Effective Healing. We tell you the steps that you need to take in order to learn how to heal. And of course, the very first step is to make sure that you have an attitude that is receptive of new things. Because if you think everything is just perfect the way it is, then Christian Science is not for you, because you have to make changes if you want to be a true Christian Scientist. You have to believe that spirit is greater than matter, and in fact that matter is really nothing, zero, and that spirit is the only substance. John asked Jesus, "Is there a material body?" Jesus said, "No." And then he said, "Is there a material universe?" And Jesus said, "No." Most people believe there is, but there is not. If he believed in a material universe or a material body, could he have healed the body or any circumstance of a material-based sin, sickness, disease, or even death? No. When he saw someone like Lazarus that was dead, he didn't say, "Oh, that's too bad." No. He said, "Lazarus sleepeth." And when they said, "Oh, he's going to be smelling really bad if we bring him out of the where he is," and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." In other words, they had to raise their thought above where they were seeing him as a mortal being that was gone and already in a state of deterioration. The blind man. Did Jesus say, "Oh, that's too bad, you're blind"? No. He said, "Do you have faith you can be healed?" And how about the lepers? Did he see them as having leprosy? Or did he see them as the image and likeness of God, as it explains in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, 26, and 27. That's how he saw them. Mary Baker Eddy defines man as being a compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. Does that sound like that is an Adam and Eve, someone that is born a sinner? No. Remember that in the first part of Genesis chapter 2, I think it's verse 4, where it says, "And there went up a mist." Can we see clearly in a mist? Have you ever been in a fog? A fog is a mist. I've been in a fog so thick you could not see your hand if you held it up in front of your face. On page 468, which is the recapitulation chapter, which is a summary of chapters 1 through 13, states the following: "There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual." The Institute knows of a case where an individual had a growth above their eye, and the individual was a Christian Scientist. He was a very busy businessman. And he decided, instead of sitting down and praying about it for whatever period of time that he may think about doing, that whenever he went to the restroom, instead of looking in the mirror, which normally he didn't do anyway unless he was shaving or combing his hair or something, but he would say the prayer that was just recited to you, and he would substitute the word "a growth above the right eye" for the word "matter." And instead of saying man is spiritual, he would say I am spiritual, because I am the spiritual image and likeness of God. Matter of fact, I am the compound idea of infinite spirit. So my substance is flawless, and flawless could not include anything that is unlike God. And he reasoned along those lines every time he went to the restroom, you know, two or three times a day, only spending two or three minutes on it. And in a few days, instead of growing, the defect, what appeared as a defect above his eye, started going down. And in a short time, it totally disappeared, not leaving a mark, not a scar, not any evidence that it had ever been something that looked ugly, that was growing. We know of another case where a practitioner was called to see a patient, and they went to their home, and the individual was busy when they arrived, but they had a sentinel on the table there in the reception area. And the practitioner picked up the sentinel, and she saw an article that was appropriate, related to the reason she was called there to see the patient. And so she took a pencil or a pen, and every time it talked about a generic name, she wrote the individual's name in there. Took her maybe 15 minutes or so to do that. And by the time she was done, the individual that she went to see was available to see her. And the individual came out of the room she was in and said, I'm sorry to have called you here, but I am healed, so I don't really need you. So it was the thought that was directed to the individual, and individualizing it and putting her name in there, that directed the healing truth to that particular individual. Now, we have to not just be interested in reading words, we need to understand it. Frederick L. Rawson and a Christian Science friend, the last name was Spalding, they're both authors on our website, they were gazing out a window somewhere around 1920, 106 or 7 years ago. And at that time, there were very few motorized vehicles to carry heavy loads, such as a good-sized truck. But there was a man with a wooden cart, heavy-duty wooden cart, that was full of rocks. And it was being pulled by an animal, and he had an uneasy feeling about the tailgate, so he stopped the animal and went back to the back to examine the tailgate. And when he was back there, the animal was alarmed by some unexpected noise and raised up and dumped the entire load of rocks on the man, covered him up completely. Mr. Rawson saw that event, and so did Mr. Spalding, who was standing beside of him, looking out the window. And Frederick L. Rawson said these few words: there is nothing but God. The man came rocketing out from underneath the rocks. Not a scratch on him. Completely healed of whatever the belief was of the damage to him. Or maybe he was even considered dead. He didn't have a bruise on him. Let's connect some of the dots. The chapter on marriage tells us a couple of very important points that connect to what we've said. Let's read what the Bible says in two different chapters. One is Matthew, and one is Luke. We are very fortunate because there was a gentleman by the name of J.B. Phillips, and in the mid-1900s, I think it was around 1960, 1965, he translated the Bible into what is called the New Testament in modern English. This is what he says about Matthew 22, 30-33. "You are very wide of the mark," replied Jesus to them, "for you are ignorant of both the scriptures and the angels in heaven. And as for the matter of the resurrection of the dead, haven't you ever read what was once said to you by God himself? Quote, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' God is not God of the dead, but of the living men." When the crowds heard this, they were astounded at his teaching. Luke puts it this way. "People in this world," Jesus replied, "marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of reaching that world, which means rising from the dead, neither marry nor are they given in marriage. They cannot die anymore, but live like the angels. For being children of the resurrection, they are the sons of God. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed to be true in the story of the bush, when he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For God is not God of the dead, but of the living. For all men are alive to him." Isaiah was quoted about precept upon precept and line upon line and here a little and there a little. And it was also stated that there is not the intention that someone is going to leap from a belief in matter all of a sudden to forget about that and be only involved in flawless spirit. So it's a matter of taking steps. This is what is said in Matthew 13, 24-30 about the tares and the wheat. "Then he put another parable before them. 'The kingdom of heaven,' he said, 'is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weed among the wheat and went away. When the crop came up and ripened, the weeds appeared as well. Then the owner's servants came up to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did all these weeds come from?' Some blackguard has done this to spite me. Do you want us then to go out and pull them all up?' Said the servant. 'No,' he returned. 'If you pull up the weeds now, you would pull up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together till the harvest. And at harvest time, I shall tell the reapers, collect all the weeds first and tie them up in bundles ready to burn. But collect the wheat and store it in my barn.'" Timing is everything. Everything must be done at the correct time. A good act done at the wrong time is not right, and a bad act done at the good time is not successful. Everything must be done at the right time. And of course, we don't want to do any bad acts at any time. But there's a right time for everything that is good. And that's what we need to be alert to. And that alertness comes from mind. Because mind turns on the light. Mind gives us the ideas. Mind stands guard at the door of thought. Why do you think Jesus was crucified? What is the real reason? This whole chapter about marriage tells us. These quotes tells us. Connect the dots. The Jews thought they would be extinguished, that they would lose their civilization. Because Jesus says, neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they overlook the important thing, and that is that we must let the tares and the wheat grow together until the time of harvest. In other words, we don't want to all of a sudden stop having babies if our belief of life comes from that false belief. But what we want to do is to gradually train the brain to accept truth and reject evil. Reject the false sense of life and cultivate the correct sense of life. That God is our life. Not a baby, not a mother that nurtures for 9 months and then brings birth, not a father that joins in with the mother to create the beginning of the baby. Life has always been. The Bible says there is nothing new under the sun, and that whatever is true now has always been true. We have to remember, when Einstein advises us about never stop questioning, and that Jesus tells us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free of what? Free of anything that is not true about God. Whatever is true about God, and the more we understand it, gives us our freedom and our independence. The Monitor was begun somewhere around 1906 or 1907. And the motto of the Monitor was, injure no man and bless all mankind. In other words, the golden rule. Tell the truth. But don't try to injure a personality. Separate the evil from the individual. We probably all have a closet full of things that we did that we're ashamed of and wonder, how did we get tricked into that? It's probably because of universal belief. It is latent. Often it's unconscious. We don't even know what we're doing. And when it's all done, we thought, how in the world could I have done such a stupid thing, or such an evil thing? Or how could I have done such bad thinking? As we study sincerely the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, and as mentioned, effective healing gives you step-by-step instructions, you will gradually elevate thought from the material to the spiritual, from the mortal to the immortal, from the material senses to the spiritual senses. In other words, from unreality to reality. The tenets of Christian Science gives us a very good guideline and I shall read them right now. They are stated on page 497 of the textbook, which is the last few pages of the first section, which is entitled Science and Health, and it's also stated in the manual of the Mother Church. Question: have Christian Scientists any religious creed? Answer: they have not. If by that term is meant doctrinal beliefs, the following is a brief exposition of the most important points or religious tenets of Christian Science. 1. As adherents of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. 2. We acknowledge and adore one supreme and infinite God. We acknowledge His Son, one Christ, the Holy Ghost, or Divine Comforter, and man in God's image and likeness. 3. We acknowledge God's forgiveness of sin in the destruction of sin, and the spiritual understanding that casts out evil as unreal. But the belief in sin is punished only so long as the belief lasts. 3. We acknowledge Jesus' atonement as the evidence of divine efficacious love, unfolding man's unity with God through Christ Jesus, the way-shower. And we acknowledge that man is saved through Christ, through truth, life, and love, as demonstrated by the Galilean prophet in healing the sick and overcoming sin and death. 5. We acknowledge that the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection serve to uplift faith to understand eternal life, even the illness of soul, spirit, and the nothingness of matter. 6. And we solemnly promise to watch and pray for that mind to be in us which was also in Christ Jesus, to do unto others as we would do unto them, and to be merciful, just, and pure. That's the end of the tenets and the end of the chapter number 14. And the next section is entitled Key to the Scriptures. There's one more thing that I want to mention, which we have not done so as of now, and that is on page 146, Mary Baker Eddy states the following: divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. And on page 330, she gives us a second huge clue as to the value of what she has brought forth as her final, most advanced statement on Christian Science. She says there are 32 planks of the platform. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. And that's from page 330. And from 330 to 340 are the 32 planks, the 32 topics, with all of the text related thereto. So, as she says, that if we understand the letter, that's the 32 planks, and the spirit, which means the atmosphere in which we utilize those, which is, of course, the substance of spirit, the atmosphere of love, where we're nurturing everything to bring it to fulfillment, that it will bear witness to the infallibility of divine metaphysics, and it will be demonstrated. There's one other thing that's very important to bring out, and that is an article by Dr. Francis Fluno and an article by Mary Picoretti. The one by Fluno is called Criticism, and the one by Mary Picoretti is entitled The Secret. I will not read those now, but they're on the website, and you can see them from going to the home page or the menu. The article on The Secret is under Mary Picoretti, under Articles, and the one for Criticism is under the author Fluno, F-L-U-N-O, under the title of Criticism. You will want to read those several times a day because they are so important. And Mary Picoretti wrote Chapter 5, which is called Animal Magnetism Unmasked, because she could not get the Science and Health published without having that chapter in there. She had commissioned the publisher. He had agreed to publish the book. This is the very first edition. And nothing was happening. Way past the deadline. So she had to get involved herself. Just delegating it to the publisher didn't seem to work. And as she was praying about it, she realized that she needed to have a chapter on how evil operates. And that couldn't come from God, because God knows nothing about evil. That had to come from her own experience over the previous period of time, from 1866 until 1975. And she discovered a lot about evil, because the healings couldn't take place until she understood and declared the unreality of evil. Frederick L. Rawson, the one that demonstrated the man that had the rocks dumped on top of him, he also discovered how to heal back in time, and he healed over 500 cases going back to the moment that the individual first discovered he had a problem. So it obviously was not just a whim, but he discovered the science of how to go back in time and heal. Next to Mary Picoretti, he was probably the most advanced student. There are three of them that had 15-minute appointments. He and Joel Goldsmith and Wentworth Winslow. Wentworth Winslow healed a boy from the belief of death. Joel Goldsmith healed a whole building of Christian Scientists who were in a Christian Science nursing home who were stricken with the belief of a contagious disease. And he healed the whole building at one time. So all three of these are at the top of the list of understanding what Christian Science is all about. I shall now read a treatment by Mary Picoretti that she gave to her most advanced class in the Metaphysical College, which was the final class in 1898, wherein she individually invited each student. And at the end of 3 days, the very beginning of the class, she assigned them to go out and heal someone and come back the next morning, which was when the next class resumed, and report the results. Every single individual in the class had a healing to report that had been affected during that evening hours and the morning hours following. And she gave them 7 special prayers called the Diapason of Heaven, and I shall read the one on spirit, because that's what our topic is about, spirit, marriage, wheat and tares. So here is the Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy with a focus on spirit. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit, individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. It is Sunday, August 2, 2026, at 10:57 a.m. The topic of this prayer treatment has been spirit, marriage, wheat and tares. Thank you for listening. The end.